setting up a dial-up server in 2020. In another article, I address the subject of getting computers connected to each other with modems in the modern era, if you don't have any real phone lines. But having gotten the basic handshake to work, you're probably looking for a next step, and in many cases, you probably want it to be to get on the internet. Simply making a serial connection with modems is trivial. One end dials, the other end picks up, and now bytes can flow back and forth. Getting an internet connection requires a protocol on both ends that encapsulates your IP packets into a serial stream. One device needs to be a host, which provides remote access by relaying packets from the dial-up client through its own network interface. The older protocol for this was SLIP, and the newer one, the one you almost certainly will be using, is PPP. I've written an article about how both of these work, which you can read if you want some more technical details. Now, surely there are machines old enough to not implement PPP, and if I have occasion to discover one, I'll see if I can produce a process on getting SLIP working, but at the moment, I don't even know that I have anything that supports it. The PPP spec is from 1989, so that covers some pretty old machines all on its own. There's many ways to run a PPP server, most of which I'm not currently very familiar with. Googling this is very hard. Almost all the information I can find is extremely dense or extremely outdated. I'm still learning about this, so here's how this page will work. If you want to do this in the quickest, simplest, most error-free way possible to just get going right now, you can just get a PC with a modem and follow my Windows Server 2003 guide, which is linked in the article itself. Connecting a Windows client is trivial this way. If you aren't dialing up from a Windows computer, however, you're on your own for figuring out how to make this work on the client for now. In the future, I hope to cover processes for other OSs, both as client and server, but for now, I'm just going to info dump whatever I know, or think I know, about this stuff, because information on this topic online is woefully limited. You can either find specific steps on how to connect to some university network from 1995, or miserably in-depth discussions of specific configurations, but nothing I would call a layman's introduction. In the process of trying to figure this stuff out, I've had to learn a lot so far about how it all works, and I'm going to try and share that here. We'll start with the basics. The primary methods I'm aware of to create a dial-up server are first, to use a PC. It's one of the most basic approaches, naturally. You just get a PC with one or more modems, and that way you can use equipment you mostly already have and provide services to connect to dial-up clients all in one box. With Windows, you can just install any server edition on a PC with at least one modem and enable the routing and remote access service. I have a whole page on how to do this. For Unix, you could install various types of Unix or Linux on a PC with at least one modem and set up PPPD. In theory, this should be extremely trivial, and there's at least one solid guide on how to do it, which I link in the article itself, but most of the documentation I can find online is extremely old and confusing. Another major option is to use a router. There's tons of routers from Cisco, among other companies, going back decades that have one or more modem ports that can receive calls from dial-up modems and connect them to an IP network. There's a lot to this, and I have experience with this category of device, but no directly on-point experience yet, so everything I know is theoretical based on documentation I've read. But this might be the most practical approach if you're just trying to get something online in the slimmest way possible, because these are usually fanless devices with no hard drive that should run for eons with zero intervention and use very little power. But it's up to you to find one that'll do what you want, because there are thousands of models. The final option is to get a remote access concentrator, also known as a remote access server. These are dedicated devices whose sole purpose is to terminate dial-up connections. They were sold largely to ISPs, and I know very little about them except that they should, notionally, be very good at this task. So now let's talk about details. On the PC, since I only know about Windows right now, I'll just tell you what I know there. For Windows, you'll need to enable RRAS, the Routing and Remote Access Service. This actually describes a whole bunch of services Windows can provide remotely, including VPNs, but the setup process lets you select dial-up users, which will do everything you need to make a server machine simply connect dial-up clients to its own LAN connection. The specific steps differ between versions, but it's basically like this. You get at least one modem of any type that Windows recognizes, so serial, PCI, or USB. You use the Manage Server tool to add the RRAS role. You create users and or a user group, which are people who will be permitted to log in as dial-up subscribers. And then Windows begins listening for modem connections and turns up a PPP session for whoever connects with a valid user. I've written a guide on how to do this on Windows Server 2003, and I'll try to get one made for at least one later edition. 2003 happens to be very quick and easy to install. It runs on nearly anything. It's readily available in a form with activation disabled, and it does the job just fine, so I figured it was a good starting point. You'll find a link in the main article called Configure RAS on Windows Server 2003 that'll take you to that page. Now, if you want to connect more than one machine, you're going to need multiple modems. There's several ways to crack this egg. One is to get a multi-port serial card and then multiple external modems. Dual-port serial cards are readily available even now, and a pair of them would get you four modems, so this is reasonable for a small hobbyist setup. If you want to do something wackier, like hook up 16 machines for some kind of exhibition, things will get ridiculous fast. You'll have 16 serial cables, 16 modems, 16 power supplies, 16 phone cords, and so on. The other approach is to get a multi-port modem card. You can get an ISA, PCI, or PCIe card with up to 8 modems built in. I've never tried these, but I have no reason not to assume they'll show up to the OS exactly like 8 modems on 8 serial ports. You could also just plug in a bunch of USB modems. The final option is to get a digital or PRI modem. These accept a PRI connection, which I'll discuss more in the integrated access devices section further down, but in some cases these can serve up to 96 connections through one card. These are very expensive and require complex setup, but if you really wanted to run a dial-up ISP off of a Linux box or something, this would be the way to go. Now let's talk about routers. There's a tremendous number of things called routers. The standout option that I'm thinking of is Cisco's product line, which is very old and varied, and much of which is now available for pennies on the dollar. I have a couple pictures here of a Cisco router called a Catalyst 3745. It's a large metal box that has a number of plug-in modules in the back, and you can get these on eBay for as little as $30. Into the modular bays, you can insert many different network interface cards that speak many different languages, from Ethernet to ATM to serial. One such network interface card you can get is the Cisco NM16AM, which I've seen for $60 on eBay, though you can probably get it cheaper if you're lucky. This is a 16-port modem module. It is simply a small card with 16 phone jacks on it. You can put up to 4 of these into a 3745, which permits 64 dial-up connections. You have to learn to speak Cisco's config language, which is a skill that remains mildly marketable, but then the device itself will handle every part of the process. You'd run up to 64 phone lines into it, then the router handles all the authentication, line speed negotiation, and so on, and just spits out a plain Ethernet connection. This might be the most practical way to get many computers connected. Say, if you're doing a demo at a convention, you could get a router off eBay for under $200 that will connect to a ton of clients all in one unit, no fuss, no fragile hard drives to break during transit, and so on. These ports, I should point out, are what are called FXS-type jacks. In short, that means that they'll connect directly to the modem jack on a computer. Now, if you want to actually hook up this many lines, particularly over VoIP, you might want to check out the section about integrated access devices, which I'll get to. Now, another type of interface card you can put in a router like this is a digital modem. This is something like Cisco's NM24DM. This device is also a network card, but it has no visible jacks on it. It's a significantly more sophisticated solution. Instead of having ports of its own, this device is paired with another Cisco router card with what's called a PRI interface. PRI is a telephone technology based on T1, if you've ever heard of that, which carries 23 phone calls over a single Cat5 cable. With one of these cards installed, this card will connect 23 virtual modems to those 23 channels. You can install a second one for 46 calls, and then make a bigger router that can do 96, although at that point you're looking probably at a few $100 all told. Now, there's two reasons you might take this digital approach. The first is that PRI simply uses fewer cables. Instead of 46 phone lines running into your router, you just have one or two. The second, and probably more significant reason, is that PRI is a digital format. Whether the person dialing up to you is using a real phone line from a local phone company or using a VoIP analog adapter, their call becomes digital almost as soon as it leaves their modem. Even real phone lines get converted to digital as soon as they hit the phone company office. If you use ordinary modems on your dial-up server, you're converting their digitized audio signal back into analog format, whether you're doing it by getting real lines from the phone company or by using a voice over IP ATA. That's always a lossy process. If you instead use a PRI handoff from the phone company or from your voice over IP terminating device, you'll get a cleaner signal to your modem. Consider this. It's actually possible, if every link in the chain behaves, that the audio data of a VoIP call placed from an ATA at someone's house in New Jersey, reaching your PRI interface on your Cisco router in California, could be literally unaltered. The bits that the ATA encodes from their audio should arrive completely unchanged as long as none of the equipment in between is trying to be too clever. That's impossible with analog on both ends, so this is a worthwhile thing to investigate. You will, however, need a way to get calls over a PRI, and the next section explains one way of doing that. This section is on integrated access devices. So getting calls to come in over a PRI is its own challenge. You can still get PRI phone lines from the phone company, but they're hundreds of dollars a month, so that's probably not a great choice for a hobby project. Your better option is probably to get a device called an IAD, an integrated access device. The example I'm using here is the Adtran Total Access 924. I have a picture of one, and it's a white metal rack mount box only about an inch and a half tall. The TA900 devices, and other IADs from Cisco and many other vendors, are actually extremely feature-packed voice switches. They're PBXs in their own right. They have analog interfaces, PRI interfaces, and voice over IP interfaces, and they can freely route and convert calls between any of those. One of the most common use cases is to connect to a VoIP phone provider's trunk, which is a connection that can handle a bunch of concurrent voice over IP calls that all terminate to one device. When calls arrive at the Adtran, they're converted to a format that works for the local equipment. One option at that point is to terminate the calls to analog ports. This works exactly like a VoIP ATA in that it converts from a digital signal format to an analog one that pretends to be a phone line. The TA924 can do 24 calls at once over its analog ports, and these devices can be as cheap as $50 on eBay. So if you just want a way to receive 24 analog calls at once, this should be a pretty good way to do it, although you will need something to convert the RJ21 connector on the back to an actual phone jack to plug into whatever your modems are installed in. You can get RJ21 to RJ12 cables that'll do this. But the other option is to connect the calls over PRI. That is, as I said before, a phone company technology that carries 23 calls at once over a single Cat 5 cable, and to put it simply, it's mostly plug and play. It's not like a computer network connection where you need to set up addresses and the like. There's lots of other things Adtrans and other IADs can do, however. You can call directly from an analog port to another analog port, or from PRI to analog, or from analog to VoIP, or any other combination you like. It does require a significant amount of learning, but you can Google most of what you need. So in short, if you're messing around with telephone stuff in general, an IAD is a very handy gadget to have on hand, given some willingness on your part to learn a lot of tedious configuration. The final section is on remote access servers and concentrators. In the later days of dial-up as a primary access technology, ISPs wanted denser, more integrated equipment for terminating dial-up subscribers, and that's why we have these. Remote access concentrators, or servers, are devices that integrate all the elements of serving up dial-up service into one unit, so you can slam 16 of them into a rack and terminate a ton of users all at once in a very small space. They include the phone interface, the modems, the server that manages connections, and an Ethernet interface all in one package. In other words, phone lines come in, IP comes out. An example is the Patton Dialfire. I have a picture here of one. It's a red metal box, one rack unit tall. And the downside of this device, and almost every other one I've found so far, is that much like the digital modem cards I discussed earlier in the routers section, it doesn't speak analog like a normal phone line. You can't plug an ordinary phone line into it. It speaks T1 or PRI only, which means you can't use this for a little hobbyist setup. You'd need a device that can produce a PRI signal, such as the Adtran. If you actually want to offer dial-up data service, however, one of these might be ideal. I saw what I think is a 96-port unit on eBay for about $150, and you can probably get them cheaper than that at times. So it might be an ideal option if you're trying to build like a serious ISP, but I know nothing about them beyond what they can hypothetically do. Another device I've learned a little about, however, is the Livingston Portmaster, which later got rebranded as the Lucent Livingston Portmaster. These are similar devices. They have their own OS, their own Ethernet interface, etc., but this one is maybe a little more interesting to the hobbyists. The picture I have here is a Portmaster 3. It's a two-rack unit tall box that has a whole bunch of blinking lights on the front of it. And I included that picture because of the entertaining blinking lights display, but this one's not actually the most interesting item because it only terminates T1 and PRI interfaces like the Patton device I described. The Portmaster 2, however, if you look at the back, this is a four-rack unit tall box, but it has 30 serial ports on the back of it into which you could obviously plug 30 modems. So you could use this with analog lines, either from a real phone company or from some VoIP ATAs. This is a big chunk of metal, but nothing stops you from using it with just four or five modems if you want, so it might be a good starting point for a hobbyist who might want to add more machines at a later date. If you want to actually feed all these at once, you'd probably want a modem bank. I have a picture of one such unit here. It's a two-rack unit tall piece of equipment that has a whole bunch of cards in it with lights on them, and each one is a slim self-contained modem, and so you have about 16 modems in a single rack chassis so that you're not stuck plugging 16 power supplies in for all these modems, but otherwise, as far as I know, they just act like discrete standalone modems. If you look at the back, there are phone jacks at the top and serial plugs at the bottom. So you'd have to plug in all the phone lines at the top and plug all the serial ports into something like the Portmaster, and then you could just treat it as a whole bunch of modems in a small space. So that's everything I have on this article right now. I will hopefully be updating this in the future with more on-point information, at which point I will try to remember to re-record this audio. Thank you for listening. If this was interesting to you, or if you did something interesting with it, email me, articles@gekk.info. If you like my work, consider tossing me a few bucks on ko-fi.com/gravis. It takes a lot of effort, and payment helps me stay motivated. Thank you.